The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you were walking along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women and our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them with all things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening. The day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, it's hard to believe that next week, next Sunday, as a matter of fact, marks 3 years that Abby and I have lived in Montana. And believe it or not, 3 years ago, Abby and I had great misgivings about coming to Montana. You see, after I graduated seminary, we had it all figured out. Abby was going to apply and get accepted to a food studies master's program. And, you know, maybe that was going to be in California or Oregon or Washington State. We were a little flexible on that, of course. And I was going to get a congregation somewhere near the school, support her in her master's studies, start maybe a young adult engagement ministry of some kind, and live a happy, hipster, city-dweller life. It was a flawless plan. And then I get a call from Bishop Jessica Crist of the Montana Synod, and one of the first sentences that she said to me, knowing that Montana was not my first choice to be, since I had only been to Montana once, and Abby had never been to Montana before, she said, "Welcome to Montana, but don't cry yet." And she had some suggestions of me beginning to interview with churches, maybe in Butte, maybe in Anaconda, maybe in Stevensville. But I can't really remember exactly what congregations they were because I was in shock. This wasn't according to plan. And after getting off the phone with Abby and telling her, I remember her tearfully looking me in the eyes and saying, "What the bleep am I going to do in Montana?" 3 years ago. Now, granted, I admit this story is not as horrifying or maybe as jarring as Christ getting crucified on the cross, even though maybe it felt like it. But I can sympathize, maybe, a little bit with Cleopas and the other disciples as they were walking down the road to Emmaus. When he says, "We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Maybe you can sympathize a little bit as well. I think that this phrase, "we had hoped," could be used a lot in many different situations. I had hoped to get a church in a foodie city. Or maybe you could say to yourself, maybe even a little bit more seriously, "You know, I had hoped that my son or that my daughter went to college. Or I had hoped that I would have this job for the rest of my career. Or I had hoped that I would be retired right now." The statement to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, I think, is one of human experience. All of us have plans, have hopes, have dreams. So what do we do when something doesn't turn out exactly as we had planned? You know, it's interesting to me to see how these disciples, as they walked along, were throwing around all of these ideas and concepts they really couldn't grasp onto very well. You know, these women said that there is no body in the tomb. ... Well, probably it was stolen or something. Or, you know, how has this stranger not heard of Jesus being killed? ... Well, he must be living under a rock or something. Things just are not connecting for them. And even Jesus explaining the scripture to them along the way did not even sway them. And, you know, maybe we can read this story of God doing some kind of mysterious thing here and keeping Jesus from being recognized by the disciples. But I read it a little bit more simply than that. I don't think that it was God who was doing the shielding, but the disciples' own expectations. They had it all planned out, and it didn't go to plan. You see, most of these disciples followed Jesus with the expectation that he was going to lead a radical revolution against Rome, right? And I'm sure many thought that they might be leading rebellions all over the empire and maybe dreaming of political freedom once and for all. In a way, they put God in a box. I had hoped that God must work this way. Instead, this is not what God did. In fact, it was much bigger than that. But these disciples couldn't recognize it. What are our expectations of God? Are we blinded sometimes by these expectations, by these plans? I've mentioned several times before that Abby and I continually get into these British murder mysteries. If you go on Netflix, you can get a whole slew of them to your heart's content. Well, we're currently watching and stuck on this show that actually Allison D. Young recommended to us called Foyle's War. A show, and I've heard many of you talk about it. A show that follows a police detective, Christopher Foyle, solving murder mysteries throughout England as England is embroiled in World War II. Lots of interesting mysteries to solve. And I think what makes this show so fascinating to watch is Foyle noticing all the little things that don't seem to make sense. One of the big reasons why this character is so successful at solving mysteries is because I don't think he never settles for the way that it seems or the way that it was planned. He always works in this quiet, low-key manner, always being shown having a whiskey before going to bed at night, always asking these questions to other characters that are quiet, that are calm, but to the point. He quite clearly is very good at leaving himself space to think out of the box, which is why I think this show is so engaging, and I recommend it to you all. Maybe then we can take a cue from Detective Christopher Foyle, slowing down just a bit, making space for outside the box of God in our own lives. It's interesting to me in this story at what moment these disciples recognized Jesus. You know, they did not recognize the risen Jesus until they actually got off the road, slowed down, broke bread together. They were spending all of this energy and effort in debating Jesus on the road that they couldn't recognize until they finally took a pause and were able to see God's work in the world. God did more than what their limited understanding could understand. And if they didn't slow down, they would have completely missed it. There's another pastor who writes on this story, who for them, an important formula really sticks out. And that formula is three words: blessed, broke, and shared. Jesus blessed the bread. Jesus broke the bread. Jesus shared the bread. You know, if you come to think about it, this is what church, in a nutshell, at its foundations, at its best, is all about, right? Blessing, breaking, and sharing. It's so simple, yet can lead us to seeing God doing extraordinary, out-of-the-box kind of things. You know, every month a group of young adults from this church, 20s and 30s, meets to discuss a poem or writing that has to do with spirituality. And we each bring kind of a potluck dish to share and eat while kind of digging deeper into some of these texts. We just had our gathering this last week, and during this gathering, many of us shared that this was one of the highlights of our week. That this was the time where we could feel free to have just a different rhythm. Maybe it was blessing, breaking, and sharing with one another. And in fact, we did this all the way until way late at night, until Lindsay Brenham had to say, you know what, Elam has school tomorrow, we got to wrap this up. Bless, break, and share. Maybe it's in a senior lunch at the senior center in Missoula, or coffee with friends, or a youth group, or Bible study. Whatever it is, what are your bless, break, and share moments that are off the road? What moments allow you to slow down a little bit and notice some new things to what God is up to? These are the moments that we can see anew and not get too caught up for ourselves. These are the moments where plans can radically change, and it's okay. Believe it or not, Abby and I ended up in Montana. And this is where both of us, believe it or not, need to be
right now.
These are the moments that we can lean on each other and take those steps of faith. These are the moments when we don't have to be enslaved or blinded by our expectations or our plans. Sometimes it takes us getting off the road to slow down, to break, bless, and share with each other in order to really see what God is up to in this world. So will you join me in getting off the road this week and maybe have our expectations broken? Amen.